Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Dude, I remember the first time that I said Scooby's name to him. Like, I remember we were in the hospital, and he's sleeping. And he started crying a little bit because it was cold. So I'm rubbing his back, and I'm like, stop crying, Scooby. And he hit me. I was like, oh.
You go, whoa.
This is my son. Like, it was, yeah, that was crazy. Man, come on, man. What y'all trying to do?
You completely did that to yourself.
Yeah.
Tell that story again real slow, Mike.
Yeah, come on. Here, hit the violin, Tristan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Life of Dad. We are a worldwide community of dads. My name is Tom Riles. I am the host of this podcast, and this is where we hang out. This is where the dads hang out. My two co-hosts are great comedians in the Nashville world. We got Mike James.
What up?
We've got Lee Kimbrell.
Hello.
I have three kids. Mike has two kids. Lee has a baby at home. And you all, we look at you as our fourth co-host of the show. You're giving us so much content before the show even starts, and we appreciate you being a part of our Life of Dad community. If you want to send us a voicemail, we might play it back on the show. It's 857-DAD-CHAT, 857-DAD-CHAT. And you can send us an email. It's podcast@lifeofdad.com. All right, let's do it. Lee, what's going on in your house this week?
Howdy do, man. My house this week was at another house. We were on the road. We went up to Cincinnati Wednesday through Monday morning. Stayed at my in-laws' house, which was great. Got some grandparent time in. And Frankie, it was so weird, man. It's like that week that we were up there, something kind of clicked. Whole new baby.
Yeah.
She discovered her tongue.
Oh.
Her tongue is never inside of her head anymore. Yeah. She's doing that. Like it most of the day, she was just kind of, and loving on her grandparents, her papa and Gigi. And yeah, no, we had a blast up there, but I will say 5 days at your in-laws' house is probably 2 days too long.
So are y'all close? Are you close?
No, they're great. Okay. We love them. We had a blast with them. We played a lot of gin rummy, but I was doing shows.
It was
easier on me than it was my wife, because I kicked out of the house at about 6 o'clock,
right.
Rolled home at about midnight. The baby had gone to sleep. Everyone was asleep. It was very much a vacation for me.
Right.
Yeah, even by the end of it, even Gigi and Paw were like, hey, so when are you guys leaving? You know, I was putting stuff in the wrong cabinets and really infuriating my father-in-law. But other than that, man, no, it was a great success.
How were the shows?
The shows were killer, man.
Yeah.
Had some Life of Dadders come out to the show.
Oh.
So that was very, very cool. Yeah. And had good sets. Got to see some friends that I haven't seen in a long time. And no, we had a blast. On the way back down, we did realize that we forgot the wipes at home. So Anna was like, we'll just get some at a gas station.
Yeah.
And I was like, they don't sell baby wipes at a gas station.
Yeah, they do.
They sell like hand wipes and stuff. Nah. I'm not wiping that on a baby.
Nah, you can get some wipes that I have.
Perhaps a Bucky's.
Definitely
at a Bucky's. Yeah. You could go in there and get a car seat at a Bucky's.
Man, you can get,
you can buy a new car.
You can get a baby in a Bucky's.
You go there and pick up a new little babe. But no, so I, another little dad hack, I was just changing her up in the back seat. It was a little number two, no wipes. And so I just dumped a bottle of water on a diaper and just used that. And it held us over until we got back home. Yeah, great success.
Oh, we always have, I don't know, some extra paper towels or something back there. So yeah, you can paper towel
with
a little bit of water.
Napkin or something like that. Good. You just got to get the job done. You know?
A little grease stained Chipotle napkin.
Yeah, exactly. Get a little lettuce down there. But
Nice, man.
She ended up just fine, man.
That's awesome. Mike, what's going on with you this week?
School ended last week, so the kids were home. Had shows at Zany's.
Sold out
shows with Godfrey. Yeah, man, it was good. Alicia got to come out and see some shows. My mother-in-law, my mother and my cousin, they all came out to the shows. And they haven't been in a while, so they came back and took pictures with Godfrey and
nothing better.
Yeah.
Because even it's like, even your career is going so well.
Oh, thanks, man.
And yes, with no problem. You could say the same to me, but it's fine.
I almost did. I thought you were saying. No, you're good. I was going to go into a full.
No, but it's like, even when the career is going great, right? Yeah. There is this thing with the mother-in-law or the in-laws or your own parents where it's like, there's still like a raised eyebrow, you know? They're like, well, yeah, he's a comedian.
Right. Yeah.
So it's so nice to be able to have them come into the world and be like, no, I've got it like that.
Yeah, I get it now.
Yeah. It's so nice for them to enter your world a little bit.
At home, sold out shows. Yeah, right in your hometown. Yeah.
Sleep in your own bed.
That was great too. Goodness. Now I had to do, you know, running around. Usually like I get real nervous on shows, so like before the show, I don't like doing anything, but I had a whole lot to do. Like on Saturday, Alicia, she had to go out of town, so it was just me and the kids, so I have to take them to parties, graduation parties, and it was, you know, it was fine. It worked out.
Kind of nice though to be busy leading up to it, and you almost don't have enough time to get into your own head.
That's true.
You're just kind of back against the wall. You got to deal with it. Running around being dad.
Yeah, but I still find a way.
You find a way to wig out a little bit. I feel that, man.
And for people listening, so I'm the one on the panel here that's not a professional comedian. My main thing, I'm an auctioneer and I MC events and all that. But similarly, man, if you feel like you're going to get on stage that night, mm-hmm. and one thing throws you off, one thing in your personal life, or the one appointment runs late, or mm-hmm. your one kid's stuck at the birthday party, and you're in your mind you're going to get to the thing at 5, and now you can't get there till 6:30. For me, at least, it messes up my whole head.
It drives me insane. And that's like, for me, like I like to get to the venue like maybe an hour early.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? I just need to just sit and just kind of get my head together. But sometimes to what you were saying, it does help to just not have time to worry about it. It's so much getting your head.
Yeah. And even though it is nice for them to come and watch you do a sold out show, it is a whole different beast. It's a whole different thing when you're going and you're doing material and then you're like, my mother-in-law is here.
Dude, my mother and my mother-in-law is just like it's a different level of pressure.
Both moms.
Yeah. Because if you bomb in front of them,
oh, it just gave me the chills, even just the hypothetical.
You feel me?
A bombing in front of
your mom and your mother-in-law.
Yes.
I remember the first time I performed in front of my mother-in-law. Horrible. I bombed in front of her. Mm. And this is before me and Alicia were getting married. We were engaged, and we go down to Florida, and I perform and ate it. And I performed in front of my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and my brother-in-law.
Got a call off the wedding.
It felt like it. I mean, they were real nice about it, but yeah, I know they were thinking like, where is my daughter going now?
100%. And it's just ammunition. It's like it's in the back of their pocket forever.
Yeah. I mean, what could I say?
Nothing.
Yeah, just take it. So.
Well, you just go, oh, well, it's part of it. Sometimes you just bomb, and they don't understand that. They just think that you're bad at your job.
Dude, I have video of that night still, and I haven't watched it since. I can't watch it. I can't bring myself to watch it.
Yeah, burn that
tape. I just need to hold on to it.
But you know, you still remember what it felt like. You feel
absolutely.
That.
I was so nervous. I had water on stage, and I was shaking so much, I spilled it on myself.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
that's about as bad as it gets. Up there bombing and hitting it with one of these. That's horrible, man.
Yeah.
Can you bomb at a charity event?
Yeah, I mean, you can. Yes. The thing about a charity event is it's unlike a comedy. Well, there's a lot of things that aren't similar, but the crowd they paid for their own seats and whatnot, but they're able to do what they want. We can't demand attention from them, sure. right? Like at a comedy club, you take their phone away, I think, at most clubs, right? And mm-hmm. and you, their part of the audience's job is to give you full attention. Am right. I kind of correct in that? Yeah. Here, people are drinking heavily. They're with best friends that they haven't seen in a while. So they're grabbing their attention is one of the biggest challenges. Mm. And that's one thing that I've gotten really good at. I know how to grab their attention and then keep it, but then one thing goes off and then you lose their attention. Then it's hard to rally them back again.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of an attention thing. Not me, you know, I'm not dropping water on myself.
Yeah.
When I'm on a I like big stage.
I've watched the, have you ever seen?
Me this, too. I went down a little rabbit hole.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It's like a skill set.
It's impressive, dude.
You don't give yourself enough credit.
Really
it's
don't. Like,
it's not traditional stand-up comedy, right. but what a skill to be able to get up there and wrangle an audience's attention.
I mean, this is a large room. Like, we're not talking about,
a thousand people.
Right, and that's a lot of people to wrangle like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Well, and maybe I'm like you guys, like, I'm more comfortable on stage in front of a lot of people than I am in regular life.
Sure.
Are you, because you seem kind of shy off mic too, right? When you have that room, is that when you feel...
Yeah, I feel like somebody different on stage. So okay. yeah, absolutely.
I'm a ham on and off stage.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
You have an infectious personality.
Well, thank you.
Like,
Mike.
Seriously. Like, you bring everybody up.
Yeah.
And your career is doing amazing.
Yeah,
right?
There we go.
Seriously. Things are going well. But I like people.
Yeah.
But when you go up on stage, it's like on steroids, because you're just like, yep, finally everyone's looking right at me as it should be.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, obviously you've been a big part of the Nateland world for a long time now, going on tour with Nate and such. And I know you got a chance to go to the premiere of The Breadwinner recently.
I did. Sweet. It was amazing, dude. Like, first of all, I guess I didn't expect anything. I don't know what I was expecting out of a premiere. I thought he was going to be like in LA or something.
Sure.
So when it was premiere, I thought it was just like everybody, you know, get to see it early. I had no idea it was like a whole
It was like a red carpet.
Blue. But it was.
Blue carpet.
Yeah. But it was.
I mean. You know,
I don't know why I felt like.
Red carpet.
Because I didn't want you to. I didn't,
yeah. You know. It was a blue red carpet.
I didn't want you to see the video. I was like, "Oh, that's not red.
It's
at
not
all.
Even a red carpet." Mike was lying to me, man.
Mike's on the blue carpet, pouring water on himself. He had a rough night.
Yeah.
No, but it was great. I took the family, and because I didn't expect much, so my wife was my daughter was like, "Hey, you know, I want to get a dress, a whole outfit for it." I was like, "For what?" My wife takes a shop and they come back with a whole outfit and I didn't understand it. And I still, when we got there, I still didn't think, I was like, what are all these cars doing here? It was weird. And it was amazing. We got into movies and the movie was so much better than I could have expected, though. Like, we're going to see it again. Take the whole family seriously. Like, this is clean, fun, funny. And it's not corny.
Yes.
Like, it's a great movie. It really is.
That's
There's
amazing.
Some people in it, aside from Nate, that I've loved. So, Will Forte is one of my favorite
I got to
actors.
Meet him.
You got to meet Will Forte.
I went down to, Alicia had some business down in Atlanta. So, we flew down one day, and I went, saw him on set, Nate on set, and met Will Forte.
That's so cool, man. Yeah, yeah.
Mandy Moore is a co-star. Mm-hmm. His Nate's wife in it.
I've been in love with her since I was like 12.
Really?
That's right.
Oh yeah, for
really?
Sure. Yeah. Her rise to fame really lined up with me, kind of transitioning from boyhood to manhood. You know? Yeah. I can't wait to see the movie.
That's
if
right.
I'm being honest.
A little nostalgia.
Yeah, man.
Actually, first, we have a clip to show. Your kids are in this little trailer.
Yeah.
Or a review of the movie.
It was very funny.
Dad, are you mom now?
Yes.
It was hilarious. We laughed the entire time.
The
Look at the crew.
Would you makeup?
Yeah.
Your mom does this?
Action!
That is definitely my dad.
I'm a huge fan of Nate Bargatze. Nate is such a fantastic comedian, so it was so cool to see him step
into like an acting role. I feel very seen as a mother.
I think it's definitely for families.
Yeah, I brought my kids and they loved it.
A new era has to start. A dad era.
We're all gonna die.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
That is
dad.
So cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Alicia
yeah.
and Nunu yeah, on man. The press,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's
the dad,
awesome.
The dad era has begun. Yeah, bring your kids, bring your grandparents. And, man, that's what one thing I love about doing this show here, too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're in the Nate Land world, but my parents watch it. You know, I know people that are 80 that are watching. Mm-hmm. I know people that, and they've never seen anything on YouTube before. And
totally.
Now they're watching this.
Yes.
And then my nephew, shout out to Owen. You know, he's a massive fan. He's a teenage boy. You know what I mean?
Bro-bone?
So it spans everyone. It spans all ages.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I was talking about my in-laws going back up there. This podcast has added so much to our relationship.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because same thing. I mean, they figured out how to get YouTube on their TV.
Yeah.
They're fully living in the 21st century.
Yeah.
And they love it. I talked about them last episode that came out Monday.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They love it, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, same. My dad, he sent it to his pastor and they were talking about it. And he's asking me about clips. And, you know, it's amazing.
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. We were this past weekend down at the river doing our family camping thing. The Tennessee River is where we hang out. And it was me, my wife, and our three kids. And we went to see some friends that they're living fully off the grid now. This is a husband and wife. This guy chopped down every tree on his property on his own. And then he built his house by hand.
Out of the trees?
Using some of that same wood.
Wow.
He built his entire house, you know, from top to bottom. He has his own water filtration system. The rain comes in. So he made me feel so unmanly.
Okay, I was going to ask that.
That he built. So then we all went back to our trailer after seeing, and they had built, they have a chicken coop. The wife is a farmer and they're making all their own food. Like if the apocalypse came, like they would be just having a nice dinner.
They
right?
wouldn't notice.
But then we moved back to our RV and we're all hanging out. And then someone said, Tom, can you start the fire? And just made myself look busy. I was like, no, I gotta go. I'm going to go rearrange the fridge, you know? And then I like cleaned a shelf, anything to avoid being the man in charge of the fire. Because if the fire goes out, then I ruin the party, right? So I don't want that stress of the guy that started it. So I'm here with the most manly of men, and I'm afraid to even start a fire.
God, well, manly man should have just started the fire. That seems like his role.
Yeah, that's
a
right.
Bit.
Yeah.
Did he feel like he was kind of putting you on blast a little bit? Was he just like, hey, Tom, you start the fire?
Yeah, I just built this house over here. Why don't you do something?
I'm tired, man. I just killed a deer and cleaned it.
That's right. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, but I just kind of, I go into avoidance in scenarios like that. So let me avoid and deflect. And, you know, I did some sweeping. I swept something up. So, and then the fire was blazing and we went out and had a great night.
The fire was blazing. The outside floor was clean. He swept it up.
You ever shake a man's hand like that? That's been building a house that you just can cut you.
Oh yeah. The sharp edges on it a little bit.
Yeah, the calluses.
And no doubt.
Yeah. You gotta be ready for that.
Yeah, you
gotta go in strong.
That was one of my first lessons that I got as a young man. My pop, who I've aforementioned grandfather. He taught me how to shake a hand and he told me, like a lot of grandfathers, him and all of his buddies would meet up at McDonald's at about 5:30 a.m. and sit around and drink 99-cent coffee and read the newspaper and just, you know, try to solve all the world's problems.
Yeah.
So I was like 5 years old and he took me to the McDonald's meeting for the first time and he gave me a briefing on how to shake a hand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he told me that you grab a man's hand. You try to break every bone in his hand and you look him right in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
And he got that point across. He goes right in the eye. You got to look him right in the eye. You try to break every bone in their hands. So I was 5 years old and he brought me into the McDonald's meeting and he said that I just kind of waddled up to one of these old men and I shook his hand and I looked at him and I just go right in the eye. Just said it out loud, right in the eye, buddy. And
it
killed. That was a inside joke in my family for a long time.
Yeah.
Handshake's important, man.
Oh, well, we're going through that with my son. My son's going into high school. He's starting at a new school and he's great at it now, but we started a few years ago. So you just want your boy when he gets to that age to be ready for that.
It will set you apart.
Yeah.
You can learn a lot about somebody by how they shake your hand.
You ever miss a handshake before?
I was just about to ask that. When you miss a handshake and maybe they're a little overzealous and you end up hitting like I have no qualms with saying, run that back,
man. Do over.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm not going to let you think that I've got a dead fish handshake, man.
Dude, I'm talking about missed. So I was interviewing for this job one time. And I was like, I think I saw something on TV about handshakes and how it can help you get a job or whatever. So this guy that was interviewing me, he comes in. And I'm like, I'm going to nail this one. I pulled my hand back to get a good one. And I couldn't have missed any. I grabbed his forearm. And I just shook it because it was like, what else am I going to do with this? All right. And just, we just acted like it was just normal and just went on.
The Spartan handshake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grabbed like that right there.
Yeah.
That's
when I was younger, I had a severe issue with sweaty palms. You ever shake a hand like that?
Yeah.
Let's not laugh about this. This is very traumatic.
Sweaty kid.
So I'm shaking hands and people are sliding right off. And, you know, they're kind of falling on the ground.
God, Tom's wet.
And then it carried on into college. And then, you know, so I became a big dapper.
Yeah,
you know? Oh, no, I'm not shaking. We got to dap this because I don't want that to start any interaction. You know, you don't want to see someone wiping their hand.
That was before Purell. Purell was popping.
Exactly.
So I actually had, I did this at 23. I had a surgery, which cut off the sweat valves to my hands. And it's called palmar hyperhidrosis or something. So they go in and they cut off the sweat valves. So sweat is not, so now I have warm, beautiful
dry hands.
Yeah, very dry hands.
Wait.
But the sweat redirects.
Wait. Hold on. I do need to know.
This is a lot, man.
It's a lot. I didn't mean to bring it up today, but here we are.
But you did, and we have to unpack this one. So hold on. Where's the sweat gland at in your hand?
So there's sweat that, you know, sweat, well, everyone has a, we'll say that their sweat is probably distributed normally throughout their body. I had, you know, maybe 90% going in my hands. Dripping, right? It was not great. And then I didn't want my whole life to be everyone remembering me as a sweaty palms guy, right? So I looked it up, did a little Googling, and you can have a surgery that fixes this.
Right.
But you pointed like to your ribs.
So they had to go in here and cut the sweat glands. So the downside is I'm going to get a little more back sweat these days.
Well, it's got to go somewhere else.
But I'm not getting the hand sweat. And that's, you know, I can wear 4 t-shirts on top of each other to handle that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But at least I could shake your hand, look you in the eye and say, hey.
Wild that they have pinpointed the origin of hand sweat in the body. Any chance it was like a placebo surgery and they just went in there and just kind of opened you up and were like, all right.
He's good.
And now that you think it's taken care of, now like the nervousness doesn't activate and your hands are a little drier.
You have a fair point. I will say there's been a couple side effects, and this is very strange. Uh-oh. If I see an apple, my forehead starts sweating.
Okay. I mean, it's like that doesn't make any sense at all. Why?
I'm thinking about that and also like spicy foods. If I'm just in the area.
I mean, an unintended consequence of the strangest surgery.
Why apple?
Well, don't ask me why. This is just the life that I live, Mike.
I mean,
no, I have never heard.
Every time I see an apple, I just freak out.
And if I think too much of it, like right now, I'm thinking about just like the, you know, the spicy foods at Kroger, and I'm dripping over here now.
Oh, come on, man.
But want to shake my hand? We're all good.
Yeah, let me touch that dry hand.
Come on. Let's go. Yeah.
You could almost say it's balmy.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Well, at least you don't have the same blight as Mike and I, and we've talked about it before, but your illustrious, beautiful head of hair.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were a bald guy, you would, be a real problem.
Fair.
If I feel a little bead of sweat.
Oh my God.
It's just going to start rushing down.
We were talking about bombing on stage.
Oh yeah.
Bombing as a bald guy is brutal because most people, you get embarrassed, maybe a little rosy cheek.
Yeah.
My whole head, everything is blushing.
Yeah. You don't take a towel with you?
Yeah, no, I don't take a towel, man. Maybe I should.
Yeah,
I don't know. It feels like a little bit of cultural appropriation. I go up there with
Do black people take off for the towels?
Yeah. That's black comics stuff, have towels on stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. If I went up there with a towel up there, dabbing my head, y'all know what I'm talking about. That'd be crazy.
Well, yeah, if you say that.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, my God.
Anyways. See, I'd have to dab my back. If I was doing stand-up, I would just kind of start back dabbing. So I guess you got to bring the towel around, right?
And do one of these sweaty back guy is bombing.
Yeah. Sweaty Tom Riles, you got to get up. We got to get you on stage.
Golly, dude. Yeah, man, you got to share some of these stories. The fact that you sweat over apples is killing me. Oh, my gosh.
He had a traumatic apple experience as a young man.
We got to dig into that, dude. We got to figure that out. I don't want you sweating because I like apples.
Yeah. No, you should keep eating.
Is it a certain kind of apple? Like,
you should keep eating them. You know,
it's like Granny Whites bother you.
Anything with a stem is going to get me.
Oh, man. If you don't think I'm bringing an apple next week, you're out of your mind.
Oh, my gosh.
The first 5 minutes of the podcast next week, I'm just going to go, your move, Riles.
Oh, rules. Gosh, dude.
Well, I'm sorry you feel like your masculinity took a hit at the campsite tonight or this last weekend.
Oh, it's all right.
It's not fair because, I don't know, I think you should get credit. You get man points for taking your family out to the woods in the first place.
Oh, I know how to do all the RV stuff. I know how to clean out the tanks, and I know how to
get it all connected and everything.
Yeah. Oh, you're good.
Come on, I got it.
It's a really cool thing about you. We'll get a text. Mike and I will get a text from Tom once a week, just like, hey, man, unreachable for the next 24 hours.
Right,
I'm going out into nature.
That's so cool.
And that is it is.
Yeah.
Not to blow you up too much, but like, it's something that I aspire to be able to do. Is in the future, I would love just a little piece of land to be able to go and disconnect.
Yeah.
Take my little family too.
You guys are welcome to come down at some point. And I had said to my wife, should we invite them out? And she's like, let's all hang out in person once before we do overnights. I said, that's fair.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What? You don't want to get 13 people in your RV?
Yeah. Just get to know each other overnight. That sounds
three grown men, a couple teenagers, a baby. Oh, what could go wrong?
Yeah.
That's an episode right there.
It is. Yeah.
That would be fun.
That's a movie. That's our next movie. Okay, well, let's get into some of the community comments that we have. Again, the Life of Dad community and the Nate Lang community, you have been amazing, and we love it so much. First off, though, we'll go to the voicemail first because we have a couple people that were saying they want some advice from Mike. Mm-hmm. So we came up for a name for this segment, and I totally forgot the name of it.
MJ's Clutch Dad Takes.
Yep.
What is it?
MJ's Clutch Dad Takes. Oh,
okay. Yes.
Okay. So we're going to play a voicemail, and Mike is going to give you some feedback.
No pressure, Mike.
All right.
Hey, guys. My name is Isaac, calling from Mansfield, Texas. I got a little girl turning 2 here soon, and then I'll be having another little girl about a month after. Everybody's been telling me how different and crazy and difficult that 2 kids is, but nobody really gives me advice or any explanation as to why. So if you guys would love to give me a little bit of advice on that, I'd love to hear it.
Whoa. Oh, first of all, congratulations on the...
Yeah, come on now.
Yes, man. Sir.
That's dope, man. 2 daughters. That's different for a father. So, I mean, as far as that goes, buddy, hats off to you. My only advice that I think I give to any parent is like presence, be present, like not just physically, I mean emotionally, mentally, because the time goes by so fast, dude, so fast. And just enjoy it, man. Being a dad's dope. I mean I don't want to just gloss over it. It is gonna get more difficult. It's, you know, you got extra things to do, more people to take care of. So it is more difficult. And because of that and the stress that comes with that, you can kind of find yourself just looking forward to the next day, just getting through the day and not really locking in on the moment. That's why I try to just try to be as present as you can, man, because that time goes by fast. It really does.
There's something my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, they raised 12 kids, my wife being the youngest of them. And they said, I think my mother-in-law's quote was, you don't divide your love when you have more kids. Mm. You multiply it.
Yeah, that's like a bar.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
That's a good
You're
going
to find a way, man. You're going to find your way. And it's going to be challenging and it's going to be hard, but it's going to be beautiful and it's going to be amazing.
So, yes, it is.
And two little girls, it sounds like that's hand-me-down city.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be buying any new clothes or any new, you know, little rattles or anything. So that's nice.
Yeah.
Save some money in that regard.
There you go.
That's right. That's right. Well, Isaac, thank you, man. Some other comments that came in. And by the way, we love the comments. Leave them on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you're listening, on YouTube, of course. We have Bubba on Apple Podcasts. He said, I love the show. I laughed and I cried. We have two kids and one on the way. Super reliable. Glad we finally have a podcast to talk about dad stuff.
Yes. Oh, and I'm glad that we have a fan base of guys named Bubba.
Right, right, right.
I that is right up my alley, Bubba.
Yeah.
My brother is a Bubba.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
If my dad didn't know someone's name, like say we saw someone at the gas station, he would either label them Bubba or Butch. So he would, I don't know that he would say it
Butch
to their face,
shot,
but
man.
Yeah, but thanks, Butch. You know,
yeah.
Butch is great. Butch is that's, a guy's name,
dude. That, yeah, right.
That's just, thank you, Daniel.
Hey, what up, Butch?
That's awesome.
What's the name? Says Bubba a lot. Jelly Roll. He calls everybody.
Yes,
Bubba.
He does. Yeah. Oh. My brother became Bubba because when my mom and dad brought him home, I was 2 years old, and they were like, "This is brother Steven," and I couldn't say that, so I started calling him Bubba T. Bubba Steve. I mean, that's just how it came out. And he's been Bubba to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a Bubba. Thank you, Bubba. I appreciate
it.
Man.
Bubba.
Yeah, Bubba.
Over on Spotify, we have some comments that came in. Bradley H., I'm excited for this podcast. Been a part of Life of Dad since 2013. Excited where this is all going. Bradley, I know you, man. Thank you for being a part of the Life of Dad community. We've got a bunch of moderators. He's one of them in these groups that you've been a part of there that are keeping the conversation positive and helpful to all the dads. So thank you to Bradley, all the moderators. We got Brian on Spotify. Really like the show, guys. I'm a dad of three, one elementary, one middle school, one college. Mike, I've seen you twice on Nate's tour. Very funny. Loving the new pod.
Oh, appreciate it, Brian. Thank you.
Dang, elementary, middle, and college. That's quite the spread there, Bri.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's three very different periods of life that you're going through right there, man. Yeah, and it kind of fits out, right? You know, with the spread that we have.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have college yet, but that's right around the corner.
It's right around the corner.
Right? We got middle school. Oh, by the way.
Two high schoolers.
Yeah, How was... Katie's grad.
Oh, Katie's graduation was awesome. Yeah. It was beautiful. It was, I know you love graduations, Mike, so I would have invited you out there.
People had some thoughts on that.
Fifth grade graduation. And then my son graduated eighth grade again. Did you get the invite?
I must have lost it.
We did celebrate it. We got a Kona ice truck and we brought it to the house.
Oh, cool.
And to all the neighborhood kids, it arrived on the last day of school. So everyone came on over. So that was kind of our graduation party and our gift to kind of the neighborhood kids.
Kona
so,
ice. Yeah. Very nice.
That was fun. Yeah.
I drove those around. I did three shifts of working the Kona ice truck in high school.
Okay.
And gave out a little bit too many free Kona ices to my boys. So I was relieved of that job. But it was still a fun experience.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
We have over on YouTube, some comments came in. We got Will Riddle. I clicked on the premiere episode to see what it was all about. Didn't feel a connection. 1 week later, my wife is pregnant.
You dog. Welcome to the fold, Willie.
Congrats, man.
My wife was wondering if you all could update the size chart that you use with less pointy objects as it grows inside of her.
Couldn't agree more, Miss Riddle. That I thought the size chart was a little off base. You don't have a piece of pizza or a flashlight inside of you. You're okay, girl. Yeah. You're fine.
We've got a Turumbar 25 on YouTube. This is a great podcast. I'm not a dad. I came in from Nateland. I actually do mean this in a positive way. I grew up without my dad, and I really want to post a link to this podcast in some groups that I'm in where they say you don't need a man to raise a kid. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you for this dad podcast. So that was very sweet.
Rock
for
on,
someone that
man.
Never really had a dad involved.
Right, right. Yeah.
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 Well, he missed out, man. He definitely missed out. And I guess he's a dad now.
I think him saying I'm not a dad would mean he's not a dad.
Oh, he goes, okay, yeah, yeah, sorry about that.
That's how I read that.
Well, but you should be a dad. But thanks for listening anyway, man.
Also might be a girl. So
right, we got that too.
Good point. Yeah. Be a mom. Whatever. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you for the comment. Okay, well, so today we're going to talk about the second trimester of pregnancy. Mm. We talked about the first trimester a couple weeks ago. Well, we're going to start by going into the second trimester. And at this point, you know, mom starts feeling a little bit better. Maybe the morning sickness is gone. And maybe you're starting to get your energy back. That's the thing I read a lot about. You know, energy comes back. Not feeling sick anymore. Can eat normal stuff again. It's almost like you get too confident. Maybe the dads get a little overconfident at this phase. Like, I can handle this.
You go, oh, yeah, we're kind of back to normal.
Yeah.
It, for Anna, it wasn't really the case. I guess second trimester out of the three was the best. She'd get one or two days a week where she kind of felt like she was a human being again. But no, she was still pretty dogged out the entire time. But the energy did come back a little bit. It was a little bit nicer. You know?
Nausea kind of subsided for Alicia, like during the second trimester. She, so that was great. She was still sleeping like all the time, but outside of that, it was great.
Yeah, that's what Anna and I have been laughing is it's like all last summer, she just, it's like she was barely even there. She was either at work or home asleep.
Really?
Okay. And she is, we are having so much fun this summer.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. Anna, you know, my wife is a hoot of a person. She's very fun. She likes going out. She's got a good group of friends. So yeah, no, having her back now is wonderful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. You guys have your flow down, which is beautiful to see.
Seems like it for sure.
Mike, during Alicia's, I guess, first or second pregnancy, you know, once you got to that second trimester, you still got 5 months or so till the baby comes. Like, did you think, oh, we got to get some things done now that we have a little time before the chaos comes? Like our Isaac who asked that question earlier.
Man, I don't think I was even, I was so like, I couldn't wait to get to, you know, when the baby was born. So I was just kind of like rushing time. Now the difference, obviously, with the first pregnancy, we didn't have a baby before that.
Right.
So it was like time was just really moving slow for me. I was like, but you come on, just get this. You know what I mean? I get it. Your back hurts. All right.
Cook it.
But then with Nunu, when Alicia was pregnant with her, you know, Scooby's still a baby pretty much. So I'm, you know, trying to wrangle him. I think around that time we were trying to get him a little potty trained, get him. And it was just, it was kind of, I don't remember it as much as I do with him.
Did you find when Alicia was pregnant with Nunu and MJ was running around, did you find that you were handling MJ a lot more just because Alicia was pregnant and going through all that? And like, were you kind of on MJ duty?
Yeah, I mean, I would say yes, but that would mean she didn't do anything. She actually, I mean, he kind of gravitated towards her.
They do.
You know what I mean? Yeah, a lot more, but you know, I did whatever I could to
I think help. You're spot on the after childbirth, right? Okay. After the baby comes, because when she's pregnant, then the kid wants mom just as much, right? No, and mom's fully available for the most part, right?
Yeah. For sure.
But once that baby comes, once your number two comes, that's when, you know, my daughter Barbara became my best friend.
When our
son was born, our second born.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now the tricky thing when you have when the second kid comes, you almost can't go to every appointment. Like I remember I went the first pregnancy, I went to every single thing with my wife, but then the second pregnancy, then the third pregnancy, and I had to be, unless my parents were in town or something, and we didn't have family that was that close, I had to be home with that kid. And sometimes you could bring the kid to the doctor's office, but sometimes that's a lot. That's a lot, right?
It is a lot.
So it's me staying home,
taking care of everything on home base. Well, my wife would go to those appointments and such.
I hadn't even considered that. But that will definitely be the case.
Yeah, man.
When my wife was pregnant for the first time, we hit that second trimester. I was always someone that tried to like deflect jury duty, but I welcomed it. at this time. I was like, when else am I going to have a chance? You know, I need to.
He's like volunteering.
Yeah. Checking other people's mailboxes. Like, how can I get on a jury? Because I need to make the world a better place before we have to figure out our house, right?
Yes, it was a moral thing.
So the one day that the invite came, and I was so excited.
Oh, so you actually got one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I got hilarious. It.
So the first guy to be like, jury duty. Yes.
And I was like, I was hoping for a murder case or something that would truly be transformational in the history of the world. So my family could be.
Somebody's dead. Somebody's family's crying and everything. Tom's like, yes.
Mike's over there sitting in the jury just drenched in sweat. the prosecuting attorney's got an apple on his desk. And Tom's like, I don't know if I trust this guy. He should be on trial.
So we're in there and they're doing the jury selection before you even find out who's going to be on the jury, right? And everyone's trying to, oh no, I got a job and I can't do it and I got to go take care of my kids, but I wanted to answer every question perfectly so I could get on that jury. And I got slot number 2, so I was the second one selected. So this guy David was selected first, but I was number 2.
Mm-hmm.
And
David.
I mean,
you remember the name.
His name is,
I mean, like, and he said it like it was a little heat behind that. Like this guy over here, David.
Yeah, everyone thought he was so great.
Well, I wanted to be juror number 1.
Yes. His hands were dry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, so juror number 1 gets to give the verdict.
Well, as the thing went on, I garnered the trust of the whole jury, so I became the leader.
Don't get it twisted.
Jury.
I was the man.
Yeah.
They realized they made a mistake and they came back to
him. I was number 2 on the paper, but number 1. And
they knew who
mattered.
It was.
Yeah.
They knew what was up.
So, you know me, I get all dressed. I wear a suit and tie, you know, going through security each morning. Like, I was feeling good. I'm wearing a jury. Now, it ended up being a father, ironically, Life of Dad. It was a father and son suing each other over business affairs. So it wasn't the murder case that I was hoping for.
Hey, Life of Bad Dad, you know? Dang.
But we saw it through. We were there for about, I think, 9 days. And then
for that? Nine days? Y'all couldn't come to a conclusion? Y'all couldn't figure it out?
We like playing with our hearts a little bit. You know what I mean? We were, you know, we had fun. We
it was
had
a hung jury.
You know. We all were all in, right? And so eventually we, you know, I forget whether it was guilty or not guilty, but David, juror
number
1.
But you remember
1,
his name, though.
Yeah, but I remember David.
Well, let me tell you something. This guy, David, ended up becoming a friend of mine, and once I launched the Life of Dad website, he helped me out, and he was one of the co-founders in the site.
Hey.
So we met on jury duty, and he's a dad, and shout out to David Gass.
Okay, David, I thought you were a villain,
Tom,
man.
With a little misdirection there.
Yeah,
all right.
That's why
shout
David's
out David.
Cool.
Yeah.
I
okay.
thought he was a punk, man.
Yeah.
Now, our second trimester, so we got hit in the face by this pregnancy. We moved down here 2 Septembers ago. Mm. We lived here for like 5 months, 6 months. Then she got pregnant. And we were down here. We didn't know if Nashville was going to be like a permanent thing for us. We were coming down here. My wife took a travel nurse position. So she was down here in Nashville. And we picked Nashville just because of the comedy scene, you know?
Sure.
So it was good for her and it was good for my career. And we were down here kind of testing the waters. And we were living in, like, we still had our place up in Cincinnati. We were living in furnished rentals down here. And second trimester is we moved from this, you know, cool little place that a single non-pregnant, no baby having couple would want to live. It was like this little bungalow cabin, mother-in-law suite behind this guy's house.
Mm.
And then the second trimester started up and we got into a little bit more comfortable, a little bit bigger of a space and moved. But I felt so horrible. I was on the road the day that we moved.
Oh,
yeah. Man. So my pregnant wife and like 2 of her friends had to do it. And thankfully it was furnished rental. So they weren't moving couches and big stuff like that. But still, I mean, all the clothes, all the kitchen stuff, everything like that. And I had to like take that on while pregnant. And
that's
she
insane.
Still reminds me of it.
Oh,
she should.
Yeah, she should.
Moving day.
Yeah, moving day. It happened twice. Yeah. It happened twice.
Dude. Yep. So both times you were gone.
We moved. Yeah. Yeah. We moved twice.
Coincidence?
Yes. Well, the second time that we moved into like our permanent home where we're still living now, not furnished, where I was out on the road. I flew from the road to Cincinnati, loaded up a U-Haul, drove it down to Nashville, unpacked the car. That was like a 27-hour no sleep situation. Wow. So I did kind of like redeem myself a little bit with that.
And I'm gonna go ahead and assume that this was a big show you were doing.
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't doing, you know, Uncle Chuckles or something. It was it was a worth it monetarily and career wise show, but still.
Which she understands, but she still wants to remind you. Yeah.
Oh, and
exactly,
and truly,
where you were.
Truly does almost every day. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Almost every day.
You wake up to it.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, more or less.
Like, good morning. Remember that time?
Yeah, remember that time when I had to move when I just threw up all day long and could barely stand? It's like, I do remember that, babe. I'm sorry.
Good.
Shout
good
out
day.
To Malia, our girl Malia, for coming, stepping in and being an able-bodied, non-pregnant human being to help with that situation.
Malia?
And Malia also reminds me of that all the time.
The friend?
Yeah, Malia. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
She should.
Yeah, and they do.
So two women, one pregnant, one non, moved everything in that house that day.
Correct.
All right, good on them.
Yes.
Those are strong women.
Yeah.
Strong ladies. We were just over at their house last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing a little cookout action,
all
a little
right.
Memorial Day cookout.
Nice.
Those are our people.
Yeah.
So second trimester is also when you might start having conversations about the names of your kids.
Oh, yeah.
And Mike, I think you had a easier path towards naming the first one, at least, would you say?
Was it? Well, I guess. I didn't want to name him after me at first. Like, I just wanted to go somewhere, like a different direction. But then when I saw the ultrasound, I was like, nah.
Nah, that's little Mike.
I was like, yo, I got to do it. So I told Alicia. Alicia had her heart set. His name was supposed to be Chandler Edward James. That was supposed to be his name.
I like Chandler.
Right.
A little Chan.
Yeah. But it just didn't feel right. Right?
Yeah.
It didn't feel right. So it was a little period in time where we were like, all right, let's figure this out. And then she was, we were looking at the ultrasound. We just felt like we had to have a name. And she just, like, out of nowhere, just started calling him Scooby. And that kind of stuck.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love Scooby. Scooby's cool. I love a nickname as your name.
Right, right.
That everyone calls you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I dig that. That, when we started talking about names, that for me, you know, the belly starts growing. Mm. There's all sorts of things, and we've talked about it on prior episodes, that like it slowly starts clicking in for the dad. But you start talking about the names, and then that just became so real. It's like the first time where you have a decision to make that will live with this kid for the rest of his life.
Yeah, it was
the first thing that kind of like stressed me out.
Oh, really?
You know, it's like,
oh yeah, I see what you're
where
saying.
You're just like, oh my gosh,
that's
wait,
your first
it's up
stressor.
To us.
Yeah,
we got to pick the name for this little human being.
Yeah,
like they got to go to school and say, hi, my name is whatever.
It's
and
like your first little bit of responsibility.
Our decision.
Yeah,
it was so wild, and we, you know, just about every name that I threw out there was, you know, a stupid comedian was like, well, it should be funny, right?
Yeah, right.
You know? Like, my name's Lee Kimbrell, and I was like, it was kind of a bit, but I still kind of stand by it. I thought it would be really funny if we named our daughter Kimberly Lee Kimbrell. Kimberly Lee Kimbrell. It's like
Kimbrell.
An anagram or whatever, same backwards.
Kimberly Kimbrell.
Kim Kimbrell, like Kimmy Kimbrell. That's cute, right?
Kim Kimbrell.
That was shot down immediately.
Oh, thank you.
Never
so much.
Even given a chance. Yeah. But maybe if we have a girl for number two, we can give Kimberly Lee Kimbrell another shot.
Yeah,
we'll put a pin in that.
Yeah. And then the other one, I'm Lee. My wife is Anna. I thought Lee Anna or Anna Lee could be pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
But that was also shot down.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And sometimes the names are kind of, it comes to you. And ours was our daughter. We were going to name her Mary, but then her due date was the birth date of her grandma who had passed, Barbara.
Oh, sick.
So at that point, she's going to be born on the day that is her grandmother's birthday.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got to name her Barbara. Sure. Right?
I love an homage name.
Yeah.
And I've talked about Frankie is my Uncle Frank, who passed away actually this last Saturday, the 23rd, May 23rd. He'd been gone a year, which is so crazy to think about. But yeah, so she is Frankie after him.
Yeah.
And it's Francesca.
Sure.
And we went with June for the middle name,
okay.
just because it's cute.
Yeah.
And also, I proposed on June 1st. My father-in-law's dad, so Frankie's great-grandfather, his nickname was June.
Yeah.
I love paying homage. Yeah. I love, you know, I do like that. So yeah, next month is the first official Frankie June.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
we're stoked about it.
And then our second is a Thomas as well. So I guess like you, my family goes back five generations, but different middle names each time. So we all have different middle names. So he's not actually a second, third, fourth, or fifth, but that name was given to us. And we came up with Katie as the youngest. So we like traditional names, you know?
It's a good, strong name.
Yeah.
I love Tommy.
Uh-huh.
One of my best friends is a Tom. One of my favorite genres of Instagram videos is people telling whether it's their parents or their friend or whatever that they named their baby after them, and then just that immediate cry that they do, feels good.
Yeah.
So I dig that.
Dude, I remember the first time that I said Scooby's name to him. Like, I remember we were in the hospital, and we were, you know, you pay for the pictures they do, like certain kind of setups. And I have this picture where I'm holding him in my hand, and he's sleeping, and he started crying a little bit because it was cold, so I'm rubbing his back, and I'm like stop crying, Scooby, and it hit me. I was like, oh,
you go, whoa,
this is my son. Like it was yeah, that was crazy, man. Come on, man, what y'all trying to do?
You completely did that to yourself.
Yeah.
Tell that story again, real slow, Mike.
Yeah, come on, here, hit the violin, Tristan.
All right, well, we're gonna go over to our community, Life of Dad community. We ask them a question before the show even comes around, and we love your responses. So we ask them, "What name did you almost give your kid that you're now very glad that you didn't?" So we put this up in our Life of Dad, Dad's Only group. We have Fraser Walker. He said, "Our second had an early May due date. We didn't find out the gender, but my wife and I were very confident it would be a girl. I told her that if it was a girl and she was born on May 4th, we would have to call her Sky. Her surname, her last name is Walker." So it would have been Skywalker.
That is so cool. Yeah.
Close to May the 4th, but the baby came later, so the dad joke didn't happen. So... was not
man.
Named.
But shout out Fraser, man. I like a dad joke. I like that. Dude, Skywalker would be so
cool.
That
would have been the greatest name for a baby. Are you kidding me?
I know.
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th, Skywalker. Hard to beat, man. Try it again.
Yeah, please go for it. Let us know how that works out, too.
Yeah. Or any cousins, any other walkers out there. Give it a shot. We want to see it happen.
God.
We have Chanley Bryson, who said, "I know a family by the name of Durr. They almost named their son Colin."
Oh, Colander.
Colander.
Mm. Classic. Hard to beat.
That took me a minute.
I like that. And Chandley, I like the last syllable of your name, I assume. Is Chandley a lady or a guy?
No, it's only guys in that group. So that's a man. Chandley Bryson. That's a very manly name.
It's not.
Chandley will.
Chandley Bryson. I like it, though.
How many colanders do you guys have? We have five. Is that too many?
What's the difference between a colander and a pot?
It's like a strainer. It's what you strain.
Oh, God, we have so many.
Yeah.
I have no idea why we have so many colanders.
We have one.
One?
Mm-hmm.
I can't get rid of them. I like keeping like kitchen stuff. We have four toasters.
Yeah.
Five colanders.
Four toasters?
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Well, all right. So
it's almost
one
for everyone in the family.
Right. Everyone has a story, of course, but one of our toasters was once owned by Pierce Brosnan, James Bond.
Brother.
Who told you that?
Like five times an episode, you say something that I, mean, I go, that what are you talking about?
Mind. This like, was his toaster.
Did you like get it on eBay?
My friend was his assistant and she was selling things from his home. So we already had two toasters at the time, but I was like, I need to buy that.
Well, you're
toaster.
Not. Yeah, sure. You're not going to pass that up.
So I have his toaster. But the only problem is there is a it's a fire hazard. If you put anything thicker than one thin slice of bread in it, it's going to start a fire.
So sense. Do you so, still you wait. You bought Pierce Brosnan's
broken toaster.
You bought it, but you were planning on using it. I thought this was like for so I can be like, hey, this is Pierce Brosnan.
I was yeah, we
like
should actually
decorate.
Right. Like,
we should bring it here. Yeah, because it's in my garage now. And we had some friends over for the graduation thing the other day, and I was telling them this story and I asked them if they wanted a picture with it and they didn't.
I mean, that's the most niche thing on planet Earth.
They weren't as into it as I thought they would be.
You know, the guy who played James Bond, he made toast with this. Everyone's like, cool, man.
Man, I can't imagine a scenario where I'm like, hey, man, I was over at my boy house. Let me show you this picture of me and Pierce Brosnan's old toaster.
Yeah, that's so wild.
I can't
man.
Believe they didn't want that picture. That's wild.
It's coming in. I don't know why I didn't think of it until now, but we'll find a spot for that toaster.
Tom, you're killing
me,
man.
That toaster's coming in. But don't use it, guys. Don't use it. Not.
I would never because it sounds like a true hazard.
Man. Rowdy yeah. Riles, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But why? They didn't want the picture. Anyway, we'll go to Andrew Wong next. What name did you almost give your kid? Now you're very glad you didn't. I'm glad you asked. We're going to name my second daughter Callie Olivia Wong. Changed it to Callie Riley Wong. So glad. Otherwise, the initials would have been COW.
Oh, brother. That Cow. Would make that L.L. Bean backpack pretty tough in middle school. Little girl walking around with Cal stitched in the back of her backpack, dude. That's a good call, Wong. You made the white choice on that one. Come on, guys. How we doing?
I'm going to leave it right there. I like it. We have Weldon Bell.
Got him.
Weldon Bell commented. Now, you might remember Weldon from last week. He's the guy that was dancing
yes.
in his kitchen.
Yes.
Right? So he was dancing his infant to sleep. Weldon Bell, I pushed for my twin daughters to be named Monique and Unique, but their mother was horrified. Looking back, I'm glad we didn't do this, even though I thought it was hilarious.
Monique and Unique. This right. is Unique. And then this is Monique. I hope you like Neeks, because we got Unique and a little bit of Monique. Unique and Monique's cute. God, twins would be awesome. Twins would be awesome. I kind of want twins.
Hey, man. Dude, y'all are on one today.
Yeah, we're ripping it.
Oh, my God.
We're ripping it. Their mother was horrified. Yeah, see, Weldon, I had the exact same response with every name that I suggested. I also kind of wanted to rip Lee. Lee is a unisex name,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
I could hit him with a little L-E-I-G-H.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it could have gone that way. But I would love to know what Weldon ended up naming him.
Yeah, we'll find out. For now, Peter Canales said, my son's middle name is Danger.
Rules.
But yeah. I have a regret. I should have named him Oscar Benito Juan Canales. Then he could have gone by Obi-Wan Canales.
You're right, Peter.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't get it wrong with Danger is my middle name.
That can
the fact
go
that
wrong.
Your boy can say that rules so much.
Yeah.
A guy with a middle name Danger would probably be pretty interested in a Pierce Brosnan toaster.
Right. Didn't Billy Wayne Davis, didn't he name his, you know, Billy Wayne
yeah,
Davis?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm his, pretty sure he did.
Yeah, his kid's middle name is Danger.
My Danger is my middle
yeah,
name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. See, this is just giving me fuel for baby number two.
Yeah.
If it's a boy, it's going to be so hard not to give him just a cool. This is my son. Rocket ship or whatever, you know.
We thought of Guy. I don't know if we ever took
like
it that
Guy.
Seriously, yeah. but I went to college with someone named Guy, and I thought yeah. Guy Riles would be a kind of a strong.
Guy Riles Guy is Riles. A cool name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
See, I love an alliteration name. I kind of like a rhymy name. Guy yeah. Riles sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like alliterations, though.
Yeah.
Hit me with that alliteration, please.
Alliteration would be like if your name was Jimmy James. It's concurrent. It's words in order that start with the same letters.
So isn't
right?
that what Stan Lee did with Marvel?
In what sense?
Any of the names, Bruce Banner,
and then the other ones,
Peter Parker.
Okay. Yeah, and the other guys. Yes, I love an alliteration name. Thank you for pulling up that very well-known word.
Appreciate you, Tristan.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
someone in the comments did ask for a word of the week segment that we start incorporating.
All right.
So we'll see.
I got it, man.
See how that goes. Yeah. We have Nick Bates, his last one we'll do for now. I bet that applies to anyone that named their kid Alexa.
Oh, that's tricky. That's tough.
Siri, I guess, would be another one, right? There aren't that many Siris out there, but
Alexa would be brutal.
Do y'all have the Alexa speaker in your house?
No, absolutely not.
No?
No.
Why? Oh, you.
I don't trust her.
Yeah. I knew that was coming.
Get out of my house.
What do you think's going to happen? What are you doing in your house?
Nothing. I just don't like her being there, man.
You can cut it. You can keep it from listening, which, I mean, that would defeat the purpose, but.
Yeah. Then you just got, like, what? A kind of sentient robot that's mad at you? I don't need that, man. I don't need Alexa.
Dude, Alicia, she gets irritated is that Alexa starts to sound like, tries to sound human. That makes her mad.
Yeah.
And she, like, she's, like, yelling at Alexa, like, stop talking to me like that. Like, you can hear her
getting like, in a fight with her.
Don't call me that. Like, it's weird.
Don't come at me, Alexa.
Yeah, man. I like it. I like, sound like a human. I like
that. Yeah.
It's a little tricky when you can just kind of reorder things from Amazon just by saying it to your thing. You know, it got a little too easy to.
It did.
Order stuff. Yeah. You know, you just walk through the kitchen, hey, order some more paper towels. Mm-hmm. And then they're there the next day. Yeah. It takes shopping a little too far.
That's why it's there. It's like rampant consumerism.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. I don't trust her, man. She's not welcome in my home.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about things that are welcome in your home as we transition.
And there's a lot.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about, you know, so still in the second trimester. Yeah, that's when you might start building the baby's room. You might have to say goodbye to something that's in your house so there's room for the baby and all that. So let's kind of talk about that a little bit. Like, Mike, were you kind of building cribs and such, or what was your, as we approached the due date?
Yeah, I was building the crib. What I lost was a man cave.
Oh, did it turn into a nursery?
Pretty much.
Or a baby playroom.
Yeah, playroom. It was still my hangout.
I was too overzealous. I was so hyped up to do all the classic building stuff. You know, that you feel like as a father, it's all you can do, right? Like the way that you can join and add and help out is by putting together the bouncer or putting together the crib or whatever.
So did Anna do all that?
What? No, I handled all of that. I put together a bunch of stuff. But the thing that I messed up is I was doing it. I was overzealous. I was doing it too quick. She was 6 months pregnant, and I put together like this big little bouncer that, you know, Frankie couldn't even use until she was like 4 months. Yeah, yeah. Right. So now our small little house was already over cluttered with big giant toys that are unusable for like 8 months after I build it.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it's so nice to like baby-fy your house.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So you did all that. Like, covering up the light sockets and
all of it.
The
corners
on the.
Well, as far as like baby-proofing and stuff now, we are entering that phase now.
Oh, okay.
Now that she's like a little bit more mobile.
That's fair.
Or anything. But we expanded the baby pit and it's much bigger. It's like our entire living room now. Mm. Yeah.
Well, eventually you'll have, and I've seen pictures of this, you know, it's just the dad pit. So that's the one area of the house where the baby can't go.
Yeah.
Where your stuff is, right? So eventually you're going to fence in your area and she has free reign everywhere else.
Yep.
God, my.
You could take it all over.
My mom and dad, my honey and Baba, shout out to them. They went out and it's their first grandkid. They're over the moon. They're going out and getting all the baby stuff. And they ordered their own little pit, like their own little playpen, and overshot the size. So much. I'll send a picture. We can post it on the socials or something. My mom sent me a picture of this little playpen that they put. It's like 100 square feet. It takes up their entire downstairs.
Wow.
I mean, it's like kind of unusable. Yep. Like you can't open the door to the deck. You can't get to my dad's office. They had to take the coffee table out of the living room. It's huge. So no, it was very cute.
A lot of those baby gates, I can't figure them out. You ever go into someone's house where they have a baby gate?
Oh, yeah.
I can't open that, so I'm just over.
And they just leave you. They don't even tell you what to do. No. They just expect you to just walk in and know what to do.
Yeah, they're baby-proof and dad-proof.
Yeah.
And moms just know how to do it. No, it's just this little step over.
Yeah.
Guy like me.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a step over.
Yeah.
For sure.
I built some of the stuff for our kids' nursery, but that's not my greatest skill set. My son is actually a great engineer now. If we're building something in the house now, he follows the instructions and he just tells me what to do. So he's like, Dad, hold this here. Screw all these ones in. So I love that. So he kind of takes it all. But before he was doing that, we actually had it was for our daughter's birthday once. I think she was turning 5 and I didn't even know about this, but we had bought her a kid's kitchen, like a nice red kitchen.
Oh yeah.
And it arrived the day before and my family was in town and I started building this thing and I realized it was going to be like 14 hours to build it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I told my Lucy, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hang out with my family. I'm not gonna, I don't care about this kitchen, you know? And then there was some tension there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And I had tried, but then I messed everything up. So she went and built it for 12 hours. So I was just kind of hanging out with my family the whole time. But that was
Did you know she was working on it?
I knew she was working on it. It's like, how often is my family there?
Right.
And I didn't want to spend an entire day building a kid's kitchen.
Man, how was that after though?
It was touch and go for about 6 months, you know?
6 months. Yeah. It's a long time, man. That's a long time.
We kind of moved past it. Basically, whenever she was playing. And then my daughter did love the kitchen, so,
It's one of my favorite things to do. I don't have that kind of brain necessarily. I'm not great with math. I don't really have an engineer's head.
Mm-hmm.
But I can really, man, you give me a piece of IKEA furniture.
It's done.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. It just soothes something in my brain.
Yeah. I love
to just, I'll get all the pieces out, get them all lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'll take little pieces of paper and like write, like, you know, it says C3 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'll get everything nice and labeled and just go through step by step, build it, really feel like I did something.
Yeah. I love it. Put on a good movie.
Come on, throw a podcast on.
Man, light a candle.
Yeah, light a candle. Sure, yeah, man.
You gotta treat yourself.
Really set the mood, man. Feel that.
Nice. Well, all right. So into the nursery, or I guess just dad products in general. You can pull up that chart, Tristan. So we're going to kind of talk through over the years what the car seat's a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked about it a little bit earlier. But they have changed so much over the years. So we start back in like the 1920s, you know, back then there weren't even seatbelts, I don't think, right? Were there even cars in the 20s?
There were like Model Ts, I guess, but they weren't ripping very fast, you know?
Yeah.
I think they topped out at about 30 miles an hour.
Okay.
You know?
So it makes sense to put your baby in a basket. So
also, I feel like in the 1920s, dads weren't dadding very hard.
Correct.
You know?
No.
Yeah. I think if a dad had a baby in his car at all, then it was definitely just rolling around in the back seat, like smoking a cigarette.
Well, all the way into the 80s when we had our minivan, our family minivan, like if we were going on a road trip, my parents would just take out all the seats and we would just kind of sit out. We would just lay out whether we're sleeping or sitting up. Like there were no seats. There were no seat belts, no seats.
Oh, wow.
We were just kind of chilling. There were no rules back then. We were all...
Yeah,
reckless. That's
when you ride in the back of the pickup truck and lay in the bed. That was dangerous.
Yeah, we were back of the pickup truck kids with my grandfather for sure.
Yeah.
Rolling around.
Hit the speed bumps. They ever do that to you?
Boom. Oh, yeah, for sure. Or down at our farm would be a gravel road. So, I mean, it was just kind of the whole road was essentially a bunch of tiny speed bumps.
Mm.
Yeah. And you get pinched or whatever, hit your head. Yeah, we turned out fine.
We did. Yeah, we're doing all right. But now I'm curious about your car seat, Lee, because now I'm reading that there's like sensors on it. You have it connected to your phone where if they're not in the seat the right way, you can get an alert. Like technology's gone so far on these things.
Brother, I don't let Alexa into my home. I don't have a Bluetooth capable car seat. Definitely not, man. I don't need all that data. Mm. You know, the baby's okay. I guess I did admit I was using it wrong for about 8 months, so that's not a good
thing. Yeah, it would have been nice if we would have told you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Ding. Yeah. No, but our car seats are great.
Yeah.
My wife is just a Jedi on Facebook Marketplace. Mm. So I just got a new car seat for my car. And then as we're recording this, my wife is going and getting one for her car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and hers is going to be, the one that she's buying today will be the car seat that we'll be having until Frankie's, I mean, I don't even know. How long were your kids in car seats? Like, it's longer and longer, it feels like.
Yeah, it goes from rear-facing, or go ahead, Mike.
No.
Yeah, rear-facing to then front-facing, I feel like around 2 or 3 years old.
Yes.
And then maybe a booster seat around the age of 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. And then they just look awkward. Then they're suddenly 14 and we're still having them get in their car seats,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. The one that she got, we'll have it. It will be the last car seat that we have because it's currently rear-facing, but then it's got a feature where it spins around. Mm. And then there's like, you know, it's like a little transformer. You can like take pieces off as they get bigger.
Yeah.
And so this one that we have right now is good for like, it said 20 pounds to 100 pounds.
Oh,
and I guess I got to do some research because strapping a 100 pound kid in a car seat seems insane.
And you're raising a baby that's used to driving in the car. Our kids were in the car all the time. So they've always been great car kids.
Frankie is a road dog.
Really?
Yeah, she's a road pup.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she loves the road. And we just we'll talk about it a little bit later, but we just upgraded our car seat technology.
Hey.
Which has changed the game a lot. I also found out this weekend via my mother-in-law that I've been using the car seat incorrectly.
Oh man.
Yeah. So
they didn't the hospital put that in for you?
No, it's in. It's locked in properly. If you're watching, it makes a little bit more sense. But you got the straps, goes over the shoulders, and then I was putting her legs in the straps too. So she was kind of sitting there like that. And apparently that's not necessary.
Like, it
just over the shoulders, and then you click, and then they're nice and in there. So between the bigger car seat and me and putting her in properly, Frankie was much more comfortable.
I'm sure. Like, you gotta, poor Frankie.
They up? Her legs are just kind of up. That's hard. That's some core work, right?
Well,
there.
Now her legs are up.
Okay.
I would look in the rearview mirror, and she was chilling. She was up there like that. I kind of had her squinched for a long time.
But she's faced back, so you're just seeing a leg.
It's rear facing. Yeah, but I've got my mirror and then of course the mirror, you know, so that you can go back there and you know, get a visual confirmation that she's doing well.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if I brought this up on here before, but have I told you guys about my little dad hack for traveling with the baby alone?
Please tell.
I went to Walgreens and printed off a life-size picture of my wife's face and taped that on the back seat.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Of my car. And it's just this beautiful photo of Anna, and she's smiling.
Yeah.
And so this trip up here, thankfully, my wife got to come. So I had the co-pilot in the back.
What happened? Hold on. What happens if you use your face?
Oh, if I use my face, it would not get the desired. No, she sees my wife's face, and it really calms her down. But there have been times when I'm in the car by myself, and I do think that my wife's picture kind of backfires a little bit.
Really?
Just because, you know, the reason why it calms Frankie down is because, you know, Mom is the great elixir.
Sure.
But if she stares at this picture long enough, even a baby realizes that it's like two-dimensional. It backfires in the sense because she's just like, yo, mom is not doing anything. She's just smiling just and smiling. Staring at
She's
me.
Like, oh, this is starting to get creepy.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Exactly. Exactly.
Dude, I thought it's technology is great. Like, I thought we had like superior technology because I could take the baby seat.
Put it in a stroller. So clutch.
It was.
Love
but now
that.
this is changing the game.
Yeah. But the car seat that's in my car is stagnant. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
It's locked in. But the one that just take it out, click it in a stroller, or take it out, put it in the cart at Target. Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. But Frankie is just like a constant kinetic energy. She does not like being strapped down. Anyway, so I it's mostly the dad tech that I use. My favorite piece that I use is the vest. I love just strapping her on to me.
Oh, okay.
Baby Bjorn or whatever they call that.
Yeah, strapping her on. It's called a mom cozy, but it should be called the dad cozy because I'm wearing it all the time.
Oh, wow.
God, I love having her strapped on me. It's the best.
Mike, were you good at installing? I always had trouble installing the car. If you got to take it from one car and put it into grandma's car or something, were you... You have
no,
that
I was
down?
Good at it. Yeah, I was great at it. I'm still great at it. If, as a matter of fact, anybody needs
assistance,
I got you. Let me check yours. It's not like I need to check yours.
You can check it out there. I'll stand by that one. Like, the one that's currently in there is locked in.
Did you install it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, did you let the hospital install yours?
One of the women came out like as the day that we were leaving. She was like, you got it installed? And I said, yes. And she goes, did you go to the fire department? And I said, no. So then she went down and kind of gave it a once over, and she gave me the thumbs up. So no, we're good.
I like when you can hook the two straps into the, you know, the little bars coming out.
That's what
from
we
underneath
have.
The seat. Because whenever I tried to put the seat belt, tuck it behind it, like I lost a lot of seat belts that way.
Yeah,
I could never get it out. It's in there and then never saw it again.
Yeah, never tight enough. But yeah, the car seat's huge, man. Got to have it. Can't have her just rolling around in the back out there.
No, not legal anymore.
No, nope.
I've got a good friend of mine, a comedian down in Lexington, a kid named Alex Hernandez. He's a father. He's got a 3-year-old. Shout out Manny. And he just went and visited his family down outside of Mexico City. And down there, it's not a law that you have to have car seats. So he was just kind of driving around holding his boy.
Oh, that's wild.
He said that it was... a little too stressful. Not worth it, but he did do it for one day just to kind of feel what it was like.
To
just whip around with a loose baby in the car.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. that's what I'm looking forward
to.
Yeah,
he said it was invigorating.
So the other thing, when you're kind of nesting and preparing the house, you might start getting some diapers. You might start thinking about a baby monitor. So those are the other kind of two items that we'll kind of cover here today. We talked, I think, last week about, you know, diapers way back when. You had to hand wash them. You know, it's a cloth diaper. Then you go, you know, stuff happens in there. You got to go wash it. Cloth and safety pins. And then, you know, in the 80s, 90s, disposable Pampers came around. Or diapers, not just Pampers, Huggies. And now, man, we have eco-friendly, we have Wi-Fi enabled, we have, there's so many different types
Wi-Fi
of diapers.
Wi-Fi enabled what?
Yeah, there's Wi-Fi diapers? Enabled diaper. You can get a wet alert on your phone.
Oh, is that
on,
a man. Bit or are you
no,
sure
no.
for real?
There are real diapers that are Wi-Fi and you can get alerts on if it's wet.
So is this reusable?
I don't know if it's reusable.
That's if you wild. Okay, I'm not trying to shame
just
anybody. Everyone's
baby.
Doing their best, but if you have Wi-Fi enabled diapers, get grow up.
It's
man.
Gonna be times you don't have Wi-Fi.
What?
Then what are you gonna do?
Wi-Fi enabled diapers. That is, I mean,
right?
We're losing.
What are we doing?
The robots are winning. If we're just putting a Wi-Fi signal on my baby's butt,
So
I like Alexa is like letting me know now that my baby's wet.
You poop
know
alert.
Right.
Just
there's a few
check.
Options out there. I see. I'm not again. I would do Wi-Fi enabled trousers if I had an opportunity to.
That. Like for yourself.
What did you think you were talking about? Yes.
For you guys.
Alexa comes on. Shouldn't have trusted that one, Tom. That's crazy, man. So I am so deeply opposed to the Wi-Fi enabled diapers.
Me too.
But okay, just asking you guys, when you were in your baby era, and you were checking the diaper, were you a visual confirmation or were you a nasal olfactory?
I think it's the old sniff and peek method,
So you're
sounds creepier than it should.
Dude, sneaky
the old sniff and peek, that's how I met my wife. But like, so you're doing a little bit of both. You'll hit it with one, you'll hit it with a and then a little peer back right there.
All right,
cool.
You ever see the ones that just stick the finger in just check?
That's crazy.
That's wild, right?
Wow. With gloves? It just three
I don't know that they love it, but I know like especially like the
gloves.
You're right.
You said gloves.
Oh, did you say gloves?
No, Tom goes, well, do they love doing it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, I don't think they love it.
I meant gloves. Still lost that like, I said sniff and peek.
Talking about sniff and peek and do they love it? That's wild. All right. But no, like the older generation, usually they didn't care about that. They just stick the finger in check and then.
Yeah, it is crazy how desensitized to bathroom related fluids and solids you get as a parent.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, we would cheer a poop, right?
Yo,
you know,
yeah,
you cheer and like, burps. Oh, right. We're over here applauding anything that happens.
It's so wild. We're talking about the diaper tech. I've talked about my father-in-law a lot this episode, but Mark, I was talking to him. He is also, much like Lucy, he was one of 10.
Yeah.
And he was the third oldest. He was the oldest boy. And I was talking to him, just picking his brain about what that was like. Mm. And he said that that was the brother's main job, was diaper washing. So they would have to wipe them down and then his mom would walk in while they were all kind of sitting in the living room and just dump a pile of cloth diapers, like, you know, that tall. Mm. Just be like, fold them up, boys. So that was his job. I'm so glad that that's not a thing anymore.
Right.
That makes it so much easier.
We at our house, we have entered the era where the little, we don't have a diaper genie per se. We're just using a trash can.
I didn't like the diaper genie. It just gets too stinky.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the diaper genie. Yes, absolutely. Now, the problem is if you mess around, if you get one little gnat.
Oh, bro, then they're living down there. Then you got a little colony.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, our diapers, back in the day when it was just coming out and it was nothing, I mean, I'd jam 50 diapers in there, you know, you'd take that out once every 10 days or so. But now the diapers have just changed potency and you can't, I mean, it's more like Kroger bags by the diaper changing station, and it's pretty much immediate. Get them out of the house.
We were living in California when they made plastic bags illegal, and that was heartbreaking as a parent of young kids. And I guess it's not great for the environment, but that was my method. Always put it in a Kroger bag put that in the regular garbage or bring it out to the dumpster or whatnot. Yeah. So what do they want us to do in California? Paper bag it? Like, what are we supposed to be doing with a dirty diaper?
Yeah, they want you to like compost it. I don't even know. Yeah, California, they want you to go back to the cloth diapers.
Gross.
Yeah.
You know?
Gross.
Yeah, not cool, man.
It's got to be something better you can do than cloth diapers. Like something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think we're living in it right now. But
if you're worried, if you're like, oh, we can't use the regular diapers, then it's got to be something other than cloth diapers that you can do that's safe for the planet.
I've seen videos online of people letting their kids like free.
Gross.
They've got like a little pad on the ground, like they have a puppy instead of a baby. And they just kind of like hang. That's got to last about a week.
And you can never have anybody over your house. Like, who's coming up?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's coming over?
You're sitting there having a glass of wine, just holding your kid.
We're supposed to have. That'd be wild.
That's no good. Were you guys baby monitor people?
Well, so our oldest is 16 now, so that's maybe, 16 years ago when they were decent then. I feel like we did have one, but it was more for listening purposes. It wasn't as much seeing, it was just kind of listening, just hearing something.
Yeah.
Now they've become very, very high tech where it's like, they're like security cameras now. Well, right. I mean, I guess that type of camera, people have pet cams, they have security cams, they have baby cams, so you can get 4K HD,
Our camera, that's the one thing, as I do love the little camera that we have on the side of the bed.
Yeah.
You get her to sleep, and then you go out in the living room, and you got this little monitor.
Does it go to your phone, too?
No, not to my phone. We just got the little monitor, and it works. It works just fine. And really, the volume turned down, you just kind of keep it. You just kind of always keep it right there, and you peek down every now and again. And it's funny now. It's like, I have qualms with it because you worry about the effect that it might have on your child, like them just kind of always having a camera on them. Like, what does that do to a person in the long run?
Like Michael Jackson?
Yeah, right. Exactly. For real. Like, they're all these little child stars with like paparazzi, because now it'll get to the point where I'll be watching TV or writing or whatever. And I'll look down and Frankie will have woken up and she's just, like looking straight at the camera, and it's like night vision,
that's
so creepy. It looks like a deer.
Oh, yeah, it's so creepy.
It's so creepy. It's very creepy.
Dude, I remember Scooby used to, when he was little, he would crawl out of his crib. Mm. And we could always tell because, like, you just hear this loud boom.
Yeah.
And then you hear his diapers. Of course, babies, they don't know that you can hear them. So it would be a diaper. I hear the diapers. So I remember one night Alicia was still asleep. And we had the kitchen light was on over the stove. And he stood in the doorway. And all I could see was his silhouette. And stood there for like 2 minutes. I was like, yo. And I had to I was like, yo, you got to get your son.
Like a little Michael
Myers. If he keeps doing this, like, we're not going to be able to. We can't live here with this guy. It's creepy, man.
We're waiting on that first fall. It's fairly inevitable, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to happen.
She can pull herself up at the edge of the crib. Yeah.
She's got a little bruise right here where she like kind of headbutted the coffee table up in Cincinnati. But I mean, I don't know. They're resilient little creatures, you know?
And you can eventually get a little net, you know, when you get to this point that goes in the crib as well. So they're netted in.
Yeah.
Breathable.
Yeah.
They're netted in. So they're in
there.
So they can't climb out, right? So that's the whole purpose of that.
Yeah, little iPhone factory action.
Well, for me, one of the most memorable parts of the second trimester, and I think it's for a lot of people, that's when the dad and mom might feel the baby kicking for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So moms typically will feel it first. I was kind of doing a little research, maybe from week 14 to 28. I might have just made those numbers up. But that's when mom will feel the first kick. But then dad, somewhere in there, will feel it for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember that first time?
I do. I was on a cruise. We went on a cruise. We missed our honeymoon. Because I started working at this job, so we couldn't take a honeymoon. So we had to move it. And by the time we got to where it was, she was pregnant. So, and on that cruise, that's when Scooby kicked for the first
time.
That's
so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Frankie was in there bucking like a mule, but and she had to because my wife had what is known as an anterior placenta. So I guess that means the placenta is like out facing. Like it's, you know, if the belly button's here, the placenta's right here. Mm-hmm. And typically it's kind of like all encompassing, but it's not in the front. So it's a little bit harder to feel a kick, but we still felt them all the same.
Yeah.
Anna felt them way more than I did, obviously, because it was within her. But they're about like starting at 7 months for me is when I could see it. And then the craziest thing is, or was feel it, but the wildest thing is when you can see it.
When you see it, it's kind of
when you look
disgusting.
Down and it's like,
it's like a little face coming through.
What?
Who was that? Was that Freddy Krueger that one time where he was like pushing his face through?
Through the wall.
I'm like, what you got?
No, it's just you see a little heel.
Yeah.
God, that is wild to witness.
I poke on the stomach and then kick wherever.
Yeah, that's fun. Do a little bit of that over here. And we were talking last episode of talking to them. Yeah. And then that first time where it's like you start talking and then they start moving.
They start reacting.
And maybe that's like a, you know, a causation, correlation. You know, in my brain, in dad's brains, you go, oh, look, she's saying hey to me.
Right.
You know, and whether that's true or not, it certainly does feel pretty sweet.
It does.
It's awesome.
Yeah. With my wife's first pregnancy, and that was Barbara, and it was a high risk pregnancy. And if you're listening for the first time, she was going to need open heart surgery at birth, which she did. And she's healthy now and life is good.
Yes.
But at that time, it was a very scary time, the entire pregnancy, because we knew that was kind of our journey. So my wife felt the kicking every now and then, but we were actually at church and we were saying a prayer, the Our Father. And then my wife was like, hold right now. Mm-hmm. And that's when I felt it for the first time.
No way.
Actually in church. So that made us, you know, because the odds were stacked against our daughter, but that just felt like a blessing from up above.
And that fear, it's like a kick. You were so happy.
Oh,
sure.
You were like, oh my God, look at her. She's down there.
Yeah, that's
amazing. Yeah, man, feel that.
It was a beautiful moment. Yeah. And maybe it's a good time to kind of transition into, you know, pregnancy is really, really hard on a lot of parents and it's a tough topic. You have miscarriages, you have high risk pregnancies, you have moms that are put on bed rest throughout pregnancy. You know, for some, it could be very, very stressful. We're talking about all like the fun, funny stuff of it, but, I have a story to share, but anything you want to share at this moment, kind of along those lines?
Well, yeah, Anna, my wife, she had a brutal pregnancy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she really did. She developed this thing called SVT, supraventricular tachycardia or something. It is a heart issue. You know, the woman's body is just working so hard constantly when they're growing this little baby inside of them. And sometimes it affects the heart in weird ways. And it happened to my wife. It happened the first time on April 4th. And then it happened throughout the pregnancy. She ended up going to the ER 9 times.
Wow.
9 times. It was like, I think we did the math. It was like 1.8 trips to the ER every month for the whole pregnancy. The first time she went into it, thankfully she was at work. Mm. And I mean, it's not like you're a little out of breath. You're a pregnant woman's resting heart rate is typically between like 85 and 95 anyway, mm-hmm. just because your body is doing a lot.
Right.
And my wife's, her heartbeat would jump up. The highest I ever saw it on the heart rate monitor was like 250.
Wow.
Which is like, if you go at a dead sprint, your heart gets up to about 185.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So 250, 230, that was commonplace. And I mean, it's like a hummingbird.
Yeah.
And there's really only one way to fix it. And it's with this drug called adenosine, which is a heavy thing, man. It is a heavy thing. Yeah. They push this drug called adenosine. And then once it gets into your system, it's incredibly fast acting, and it's hard to watch someone you love go through it because, I mean, you tense up and it hurts. And what it does is stops your heart.
So that's what I was going to ask
and
you.
And then throws it back into rhythm.
What are you, like, how are you handling when it's happening?
Just trying to not come across as really, really scared.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely no tears. You feel like it.
Sure.
You feel like it. But that was I would say, my welcome to fatherhood thing. And it didn't really have much to do with the baby. It had to do with mom, you know. And then, of course, the fear of what that does to your kid.
The baby. Yeah.
The first two or three times it happened, you know, I mean, I think it happens in about 15% of pregnancies. So it's not unheard of. But the frequency that my wife was going into it, we had doctors telling us, they were like, hey, this is crazy.
Really?
We don't really know what is going on here. You're going into this constantly. And the first two or three times, man, you're sitting there, Anna gets hit with the adenosine, her heart stops, and then some lady comes in with an ultrasound scope and they're like, let's find this baby's heartbeat. And that waiting game was horrific.
Yeah,
you know, it was some really, really scary times. It brought my wife and I really close together, and just incredibly difficult. And it just shows you how amazing my wife is, and how all women are, because it's like pregnancy is just this brutal, mentally and physically traumatic thing that you go through. And then the baby comes out and you heal up. And then a lot of women are like, let's run that back.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
I mean, that is insane. I'm like, you sure?
The fact, my wife, she wants to get pregnant again so bad. And I'm like, do you not remember?
Alicia said that's the beautiful thing about having a baby. She said you have an idea that is painful.
Yes.
But you forget exactly how painful it is.
Well, there's like a physical a reasoning behind that. There's this drug called oxytocin.
Mm-hmm.
I say drug. There's this chemical called oxytocin. It's in all of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout a woman's pregnancy, there's like a higher drip of oxytocin. And then during actual labor, it is like fire hosed into your brain. Mm-hmm. And it's called the love drug, or it's called like the amnesia drug. Mm-hmm. And it's because it's like, if you were to ask all of our wives, yo, walk me through your labor and delivery, most of them say, oh yeah, I don't really remember any of it. And whether it's through epidural or it's just that oxytocin that's just kind of like letting you, if there wasn't the flood of oxytocin during pregnancy and labor and delivery, there'd be a lot of only children. You know, no woman would want to sign up and do that again.
Dude, I can tell you read What to Expect.
Oh, yeah, I did. And then also it's like you were forced to, because of this SVT, we were forced to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had to learn about this, you know? And we laugh now. It's part of the reason why we think Frankie is just a constant moving kinetic energy. It's just because, I mean, when she was in there, she went through it.
Sure.
You know? I mean, her mom's heart stopped 9 times.
Wow.
Nine times while she was in the womb.
That's just wild to say out loud. Her mom's heart stopped 9 times.
One of the times it happened was on Easter, and we were sitting there. And thankfully, I was there for the administration of the adenosine every time but one. Mm-hmm. One time I was on the road and I couldn't get there, and that was a horrible day.
Sure.
But I was sitting there with her, holding her hand, going through the adenosine every time. But one of the times was on Easter, and we had already gone through it 3 or 4 or 5 times at that point. So and the doctors knew us, you know, we went to the same hospital and they knew us. They were like, SVT lady, back for more. So the doctor hits her with the adenosine on Easter, and then the guy was like, hey, kind of like Jesus, you know, you died.
Oh,
you
wow. Died
for a second. Wow. We're like, all right, chill out there with the jokes there, buddy.
Wow.
But, you know, it was fine. December 4th this year, so Frankie was still newborn. She was like 7 weeks old. We went down to Centennial here in Nashville, and Anna had an ablation, which is a little heart procedure. They went up through a vein and found the part of her heart. They induced SVT, shot some contrast in her so you could see which part of the heart was. It's like an electrical issue. And then they zapped it, kind of like cauterized it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And nothing since. Anna went into SVT the day after pregnancy.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So we were sitting there, 20-hour-old baby. I'm walking around, and then Anna just goes, are you kidding me? And I looked at the heart rate monitor, $180, $190. So yeah, everybody ran in, and I mean, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first times where I bucked, you know, where I was like raising my voice. I'm like, you fix this.
Right.
They were like, yeah, no, we've got you in. We've got you scheduled for a consultation in December. And I'm like, no, you don't. We're in a hospital. Go get the cardiologist.
Sure.
Fix this immediately, you know?
That's wild.
And they did. So I'm so excited for this next pregnancy because Anna, she was just living in fear, you know? And she was so fearful. She felt like crap physically. And then also it's like when your heart turns on you like that.
Yeah.
She was just, she didn't really get to enjoy. And I know it's so funny. We're talking about how hard pregnancy is, but it's enjoyable, right? You're like, I would imagine, like you want it to be enjoyable.
Well, I don't know.
On some level.
You're talking about for men?
Well, no, I'm talking about for the woman. It's like Anna just, she kept a great attitude throughout the whole time, but, she wanted to enjoy it.
Sure. Yeah.
She wanted to be able to enjoy it more. But she couldn't because she was just scared that her heart was going to explode the whole time, you know?
Yeah. Well, good job, man. You you were her advocate. You were there.
And we handled
you said
it.
You knew what she needed at that time. Sometimes even before the doctor did, right? You knew what she needed and you got that message across.
Oh, I was walking in barking orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, we need 6 mgs of adenosine. Push it immediately. If that doesn't take, we need 12.
Yeah.
And there are these guys in white coats and clipboards like,
he's right.
What? Yeah, sure. Let's do that. I'm so glad that that part of our life is over.
Man, shout out to Anna.
Yeah.
Shout out to Anna. She is such a stud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long was she in after getting that ablation?
Home that day.
Wow.
Home that day. That was my mom came down, Honey came down and stayed with Frankie. We got to the hospital about 5:30. She went in for the procedure at 6:30. We got home at 2:00. Mom stayed home with the baby, and got it nipped.
Yeah,
got it nipped. She was a little sore. They go in through a vein or vein through your groin typically. So mm-hmm. she had some bruising down there, but I mean, mm-hmm. not very invasive as far as heart procedures go.
Right.
Thanks for sharing, man.
Yeah, and, no problem, man.
And I know there's a lot of parents and families out there that have gone through miscarriages and, you know, happy pregnancies, scary pregnancies. And we're going to kind of talk about all of it as this show carries on. So, and with that, Lee, being your wife's advocate, you're the dad of the week this
Boom.
Week.
What?
You did it. Boom. Yeah.
Come on.
All right.
Let's go. Dad of the week. I'll take it.
Standing tall for your wife and being behind her every step of the way.
Thank you.
Good job, man.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, thank you,
for
Mike.
Sure.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah.
Well, that's our show. Thank you all so much for listening and being a part of this journey with us. This is the Life of Dad podcast. Tom, Mike, Lee. We have a great time hanging out with y'all. We want to share your stories. Call in 857-DAD-CHAT, 857-DAD-CHAT. Send us an email, podcast@lifeofdad.com. Any shows, anything you guys want to promote coming up?
Mike and I will be at Zany's in the main room on Father's Day.
Yeah.
June 21st. It is the Nashville's Funniest Dad competition. So Mike and I will be doing stand-up, and then the rest of the lineup will just be dads. So, submit, go to Zany's website, go to June 21st. There's a link, follow that. You send a submission as to why you think you're Nashville's funniest dad. And, we'll crown one.
Yeah.
It will be fun. It'll be cool, man. If you've never done stand-up before, but you think you're funny and you got some funny stories, or maybe you're a lady listening to this and you want to embarrass your husband,
then
you can submit him as well. But really looking forward to that. And it's 3:00.
Yeah.
So it's a little matinee action on a Sunday.
Perfect. And Father's Day.
It's going to be awesome. Yes. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. We will see you next week on Life of Dad.
Peace.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.